Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North with your hosts, David Haw and Dan Weiderer.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome into the Take the North podcast presented by Odyssey. I am Adam Staszynski. I produce this podcast. I'm alongside Dan Weiderer of the Chicago Tribune, who is at Soldier Field still as the Bears got a much needed pressure-releasing win against the Rams today. 24-16 was the final. And Dan, I think my biggest takeaway just overall today, other than as I mentioned, a much needed win, but this is a lot more what I think we felt like this team was going to look like in the first month of the season. So we finally got to see like what this should look like while Caleb Williams continues to develop.
Took a little while this afternoon, but once they got going, they stayed going. And that was a very encouraging sign for a football team that's trying to find itself right now. And I think you're dead on the money by calling it a much needed win for this Bears team today. And by acknowledging the pressure release today, because that was sort of the focus of my column for ChicagoTribune.com, is that there was a level of relief inside the locker room post game today here at Soldier Field that I think was notable. I think it was welcome. And I think there's an understanding that there's a long way to go, but certainly at 2-2, you get the chance to take a deep breath, you get to reset, and you don't have that really intense feeling and anxiety that comes with the alternative of being 1-3 and grasping and trying to find answers to beat teams that you should beat. The Bears beat a team they should beat today. They didn't do it a week ago in Indianapolis, and so I think you take away from that what you will, and that's that you made some strides forward in the right direction, and you are going to be an evolving team as the season continues to go along, and you finish September at 2-2 with an opportunity to go into week 5 with some wind at your back.
And by the way, Indianapolis with a really impressive win against the Steelers today. Just a random note, but yeah, that, you know, as we continue talking about the Bears here, I think that the most notable thing from the offense was their commitment to the run game. They finally got DeAndre Swift going, got him out in space a little bit. He had easily his best game of the season. And they did something that you were begging for early last week, both on the score and on this podcast. They had an FU play, and they did it twice in this game. On the goal line, first and goal from the 1 yard line after a pass interference in the end zone. They come out in goal line formation. They bring Doug Kramer, the center, out to be the fullback. And they just run it right up the middle with Roschon Johnson. They did it again on a much-needed third-down conversion in the fourth quarter to help kill some more clock. So that was something that, like, hey, we were all begging for. Don't overthink this.
Right.
Like, when you have 1 yard to gain, just run it up the gut out of goal-line formation. Enough with the shotgun stuff being in short yardage. So I think that was a really positive sign from Shane Waldron in this offense to be able to just go out there and, hey, we need a yard. We're going to run this play and get us a yard.
So there's two ways to continue this discussion, and we should probably do them both. One is the micro and one is the macro. And the micro is just what you said there. It's understanding that in that moment that you need to believe in the toughness of your football team, because you're never going to go anywhere if you don't have the belief in the toughness of your football team. You need 1 yard, go get 1 yard. Don't give a damn what the defense is showing you or what look you need to be in. You just go out and you do what you just said they did. You had 5 offensive linemen, 3 tight ends. And oh, by the way, your backup center is fullback. And Roschon Johnson said after the game, like, we knew what play we were running when we got in that situation. We knew what the result of that play was before we even got in the huddle. And so that type of conviction and commitment, I think, was a much needed boost for this Bears team. Now, look, they got off to a slow offensive start. Punt. And it took a Montez Sweat strip sack to give them favorable field position and set up what was ultimately a three play touchdown drive there. But it ends with the 1 yard touchdown plunge from Roschon Johnson, in which you just do what you're supposed to do. Get some momentum going forward, maul the guy in front of you, and trust the running back with the hard running style to get you that 1 yard. And then you also mentioned the one late in the game. Cole Kmet called that one to convert third down, his favorite play of the game, because it allowed them to milk another minute and a half off the clock before they turned Torrey Taylor loose again. And when you're going against Matthew Stafford and you're protecting a lead, you want to leave as little time on the clock as you possibly can. Cole said, like, that second time they ran that play, again, with Doug Kramer at fullback, they didn't have a good look at all. The Rams had them outmanned up front, and it wasn't really what you wanted to have. And yet Roschon Johnson, with a hard-running style, made sure he got not one, not two, but 3 yards on the play, moved the chains, and there you go. The macro to this, Studs, is I think this is all a byproduct of the meetings that happened inside Hallis Hall this week with offensive players, and particularly their leadership group of Cole Kmet and Mercedes Lewis and Caleb Williams and DJ Moore, talking with Shane Waldron and instilling some thoughts from the player side about making sure that you create this sort of identity and this type of confidence in the offense. It's taken slower than everyone wanted it to, but if today was indeed a step in the right direction that can be sustained, you got to feel good about some of the things they did and some of the troubleshooting efforts that they took to get there.
I think that Shane Waldron had a really, really good second half. And you know, specifically that first drive of the second half after the Rams come out and they get a field goal, and the Bears just went right down the field, play after play after play after play, positive play after positive play. Some really good play calling in there with some mixed formations, a little bit of misdirection, but not too much of it. It was nothing overly fancy. And I kept thinking to myself, where the hell was this in the first three games of the season? Because he had an excellent second half, I think. Shane Waldron did. And so hopefully, like you're saying, this is the sign of something to come, because it took long enough. But man, if that's in there, then there's a lot to think, a lot of good that can come out of this.
That response drive that you mentioned, 12 plays, 74 yards after the Rams had closed within 10-9, felt so easy, you know, and not from the standpoint of that they just went down the field, but I guess maybe it was low stress because you didn't have a sack mixed in. You didn't have some of the false start penalties that have been plaguing the Bears all month and again showed their heads today. You didn't have an illegal formation or a hold or something that put you behind the sticks. You just kept your momentum going forward, and there was nothing real explosive about the drive. You just kept going, and it ultimately ends with Caleb Williams' first career touchdown pass at Soldier Field, which is a 9-yarder to DJ Moore. Oh, by the way, DJ Moore singled up against the linebacker in that situation. And as Caleb's kind of surveying the scene before the play, he's expecting double coverage on DJ Moore, and he's got an option to the other side with Gerald Everett was on the field. I know they were trying to work a combination there. But once you know that DJ is going to get single coverage with the linebacker, you know where the ball's got to go. And Caleb did a good job of going through the progression, putting some nice touch on that football, and DJ gets his feet down inbounds. It's the type of play you need to finish off a drive that you need in a win that you need, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, respond to the moment, meet the moment. We talk about that all the time. The Bears did it multiple times today, and that's probably the most encouraging part of this game.
Yeah, I really wanted to talk about that touchdown pass, because the way that Caleb talked about it after the game was so, I mean, I think we've all like learned to really love the way that Caleb talks about the game and the way that he's able to explain the things that he saw so easily. And the way he walked through that play, he's saying like, I know that my number one option is this, you know, not DJ Moore on that play. But I was like, I got my number one receiver on a linebacker. If they don't double cover him with a safety, I'm going there.
Yeah, and, I mean, basically said it's the look that you wish for all the time, and so the recognition of that, you know, if someone leaves the candy jar out on their doorstep on Halloween, you don't just go to the next house and go, oh, exactly. you take the candy and you roll on one piece only. Of course, we're still playing by the rules,
right?
But
right.
A good example of going after it there. I thought Caleb was efficient today. He took care of the football.
Yeah.
You know, two wins, zero turnovers. Two losses, five turnovers. Like, you learn lessons early in your career about how important that ball security is. No major mistakes here. A couple sacks where you really want the ball to be out. A couple of them negated by Rams defensive holding penalties, which for the first quarter and a half was the Bears' best offensive play to get the Rams to hold, right? To take a sack from Jared Verse and turn it into a first down based on a holding penalty. A lot of things to clean up, but you saw some things today that were great. And again, as you mentioned at the outset, DeAndre Swift got going. You know, and you get going, you get going, you get going, and then bam, at the end, when you really need it, 36-yard touchdown run, a couple good blocks up front, Cole Kmet comes over and absolutely obliterates a defensive lineman, and all of a sudden DeAndre Swift's off to the races, and you just feel like, okay, that's the back that the Bears made a priority in March when they went into the free agent market and signed him to the contract that they did.
And yeah, I agree with you when you say that Caleb was really efficient today. I like that he didn't He didn't try to force anything. You know, you mentioned, yeah, a couple times you want the ball to come out sooner, and they did get bailed out and a couple times there. But like he was really efficient. He took what the defense was giving him. And that DJ Moore touchdown was one of those things where I thought back to the beginning of the season when they kept their kind of mission statement for him this year was, you know, don't get us killed, and then when we need you to be special. And that was, I don't know if we want to call it as a special play, but it was a special throw.
Yeah.
Like that was an incredible throw to where only DJ Moore could catch the ball. And, you know, we mentioned a really important moment. So I thought, if you necessarily want to say he took a step forward today, but he definitely didn't take a step backwards. And,
right.
And so I thought that, you know, he did exactly what they needed to do to win the game.
The greats make their money on third down and in the red zone, and you just capitalize when there's moments there. Caleb's final numbers today, 17 for 23, 157 yards, a touchdown, mm-hmm. no turnovers, 106.6 rating. You know, that's winning football in this particular game, right? It's the formula. Matthew Stafford ends up with two turnovers, game a lost ceiling interception at the end of Jaquan Brisker when he gets hit by Daryl Taylor. Obviously, the strip sack early on gave the Bears life when they didn't have any, mm-hmm. and that was a big deal. Montez Sweat said after the game when he saw himself singled up with a tight end, he felt disrespected. And you know, listen, Montez Sweat is constantly seeing these double teams and chips and these things that make it more difficult for him to get free. And then he finally gets a one-on-one against a tight end, and he feels disrespected. And you say, well, Montez, do something about it. What does he do? He pushes the guy deep into the backfield, breaks inside, clubs the ball out of Matthew Stafford's hand, and all of a sudden you've got a 16-yard touchdown drive set up for the offense. And that's what you need to play complimentary football. On the topic of complimentary football, studs, how about the fourth quarter contributions of Torrey Taylor?
I mean, oh, my God.
My goodness. Two punts at the 8-yard line. One, an absolute missile, 66-yarder angled that goes out of bounds at the 8. The other one with a beautiful, you know, touch to it that kind of, you know, lands softly inside the 10, dies, and is down at the 8. And you just talk about, you know, the types of flashes that you want to see from a rookie punter. I asked Jalen Johnson after the game. I said, does Torrey Taylor's contributions give you a little extra juice? He said, hell yeah. I haven't been this excited about a punter in a long time. So it was really interesting to hear a team captain express that level of enthusiasm for the rookie punter.
I thought that the first of the two punts you're referring to, the 66-yarder that goes out of bounds at the 8-yard line, might have been the most important play of the game. And, you know, because you have the Bears aren't able to score after the Rams made it a one possession game. And you're thinking, it's like, okay, the Rams are going to get the ball with a chance to go get the lead. And they've been moving. Rams moved the ball pretty well today against the Bears defense for the most part. And Torrey Taylor comes out and hits this 66-yard bomb.
Yeah.
And like, as soon as he did that, I thought, okay, like this game's over. Like, I don't think the Rams are going to be able to drive that far against this defense and score a touchdown.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought that was, and then the second one, the follow-up was almost showing off. I mean, that was an incredible punt. Like to his ability to stick the ball on the ground and make it either go out of bounds or just stop is incredible. And I don't think we've ever talked about a punter like this before.
We certainly haven't. And how many times have you seen in both those instances? You know, the second one obviously is a touch punt because they had crossed midfield at that point.
Right, right.
But the first one, how many times have you seen like a 42-yard punt? The opponent takes over with decent field position. They've got a guy like Matthew Stafford in their huddle, and then all of a sudden the belief starts to swell that they're going to go get it done. To your point, the field's flipped, and now the Bears defense goes out there with an understanding that, okay, we can be the aggressor here. We can be the unit that finishes this game. And I give that group a lot of credit. They've had to have a lot of patience this month as they wait for the offense to catch up. And they have stayed in the mindset of, you know, give us a lead late and we're going to go finish this deal off. They did so today. Jaquan Brisker said, obviously, on the last play that he knew what was coming based on what the coaches had told him. Played it well. Obviously, the ball fluttered a little bit when Stafford got hit by Daryl Taylor. And you've got yourself a win ceiling interception. And it's a big deal to walk out of here today at 2-2 with the Panthers coming to town next week and a chance to really start to get going in the right direction in what should be a long season that's got some promise attached to it.
It does. And you know, yeah, like you said, like the next two games for this Bears team are extremely winnable. You've got the Panthers coming up next. And so, you know, we'll get into that as the week goes on for sure. A couple more things I wanted to touch on here before we get to our game balls. We get to do game balls this week because they won the game.
No doubt.
This is a really small thing, especially after a win. but I need you or someone in the Bears press corps to ask why Montez Sweat wasn't on the field for the Rams touchdown in the second half. He was on the field for the 2-point conversion. And again, this is a small thing. I know that they rotate their defensive line, but it just feels to me like in that moment with the Rams inside the 10-yard line, you need to have your A guys on the field. And I know he was banged up, so I don't know if that was something to do with it, but the fact he was out there the next play for the 2-point conversion tells me he was healthy and they just got caught in a rotation. So yeah. Again, a small thing, especially after a win, but it just, this happened last year too. And I need them to understand that in those, like you rotate your line to keep them healthy
and for the
keep
big them, plays, for the big moments,
for,
the, right?
for those plays right there. So it just, that small thing that bugged me today.
Can't get married to the rotation in ways that put you at a disadvantage when it's go time. One of the questions I wanted to ask that we didn't get to with Caleb in the post game was his final throw of the first half looked like he had DJ Moore open for a touchdown right down the right sideline. And wherever the disconnect was between the two of them in that play, I'd really like to know, because that seemed like one they left on the table. And you just wonder why that connection hasn't been more in sync early on. There's been some throws where you're like, whoa, man, DJ's running one thing, Caleb's throwing another. They're not mm-hmm. feeling it the same way. That pass to the naked eye looked like Caleb just threw a laser when he didn't need to, and DJ had gained separation. I would like to get a little more clarity on that, maybe something for Matt on Monday afternoon that we can pick away at, and if we have to wait until Wednesday to hear Caleb's thoughts on it, we can do that as well. But that's certainly mm-hmm. one that's out there. Other footnote on today is Tevin Jenkins left the game in the first half with a ribs injury, did not return, which forced Matt Pryor to move from right guard over to left guard, Nate Davis to come back in his usual spot at right guard, and they didn't really flinch with that. They didn't really sort of hiccup or seize at all offensively with the line up front, and so that was an encouraging sign to see. I think that's what Ryan Poles has sort of voiced his approval of for a long time here, is that they do have depth on the offensive line that they can withstand some in-game injuries, some week-to-week issues, and be able to continue to flow a little bit. That was certainly the case today with that Jenkins injury not really holding them back much.
Yeah, I did notice that. I'm glad you brought that up. The offensive line didn't seem to miss a beat with, and not, I don't think the line was necessarily great today, but you know, they weren't horrible like they were in the first three games. So them not missing a beat without their starting left guard was important. Kevin Fishbane did have a quote from DJ Moore about the play that you just referenced at the end of the first half. So this is what DJ said after the game. I'll take that blame. I went back out wide. I just wasn't on the same page with Caleb. Now I know. I'll take that. And then an ellipsis. He thought I was doing one thing and I messed it up. That was really it. I told him he was cool.
That's like,
so DJ took the blame.
That's like the third or fourth time, though, that they've had one
of
those.
Yeah,
and it just feels like working together, some of these wrinkles need to be ironed out a little bit more. Keenan Allen returned to the field today. His final numbers, he finishes with just three catches for 19 yards. Not a major factor in this game, but certainly his presence changes the coverage a little bit. Roma Dunze only one catch today for 10 yards coming off his big day in Indianapolis. It really was the DeAndre Swift show in a lot of ways, and I know we'll probably get to that here in a minute as we gather the team around us in the circle in the locker room and hand out a couple game balls.
And by the way, sorry, I have an incorrect score at the bottom. It was 24-18, not 24-16. There sorry about that. So I think we can go ahead and get into our game balls segment here. Do you want to go first or should I go? It doesn't matter to me.
You go first. All right. I'll tack on.
All right. So I'm going to give my game ball to Torrey Taylor. I, you know, it's not very often we're gonna be able to do this for a punter, but like I said before, he had probably the most, in my opinion, maybe the most important play of the game with that 66-yard punt that completely flipped the field in the fourth quarter. So he had an incredible day, and he showed you why. Like, this is why they drafted him in the fourth round. Like, that, to be able to flip the field like that and to be able to two times in a row pin your opponent well inside the 10-yard line when you need to flip the field or when you need to pin them and not have a touchback. I thought that he played an extremely important part in the win today, so he gets my game ball.
I promise you that Ryan Poles pumped his fist at least five times on his way on his drive back to his house in the suburbs, just knowing that the Torrey Taylor dividends paid off in a big way today. I'm going to give it to DeAndre Swift because the day he had, not only running the football 93 yards on the ground, but catching it as well, 72 yards receiving on seven catches, made a big difference. It got the offense has loosened up a little bit. You saw some of the quickness and space that he can give you when you create the space that hasn't really been there for the first 3 weeks of the season. And so I promise that he's as relieved as anyone to have this performance today, to get a little bit of that breakthrough that makes you feel like, okay, it is there. He said after the game, I know the type of player I am. I know what I can be for this offense, and I just have to continue to grind to find answers when it's not working. They found answers today, and that was a big deal. That diversifies the offense. It gives you a chance to be more balanced going forward. I think that was some of the purpose of this week was to create some of that attacking running production that now allows you to do more things in your passing game. Hopefully they build on this. And as you mentioned, with two beatable opponents coming up before the bye week, you got a chance now to go on a little bit of a run. And if you can get out of London at 4-2 and take that transatlantic flight back this way, there are going to be a lot of happy people in Chicago feeling like, okay, this season does have a little bit more direction than it felt like it had when we left Lucas Oil Stadium a week ago.
Definitely an important couple of weeks coming up for this team. And I would like to note, Dan, we made it almost the entire way through this podcast before I take my victory lap about being the only one on this podcast to predict a Bears win. So, and I was actually pretty damn close on the score. So I
told a couple people before the game, I said, I get asked a lot, who'd you pick? I said, pick the Rams, but I don't say this very often. I said, I will be happy to be wrong. One of the rare instances where I'm happy to be wrong, because I think that this locker room really needed this. I think this city really needed this. I don't think we were ready for another crisis week, right? In September.
Oh my God.
crisis weeks can't come in September every year. It's too common and too daunting. And so pretty good stuff by the Bears today. Put their best foot forward to get out of here with a win. And again, once they took control of the game, they didn't relinquish it, which was nice to see, because the Rams put a little bit of second half pressure on them, and they didn't make the mistakes that allowed the result to flip on them.
Meet the minimum standard, which is beat a team that you should beat. And that's what the Bears did today. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up there, Dan. We'll be back later in the week with more on this game, and as we continue to look ahead to the Panthers game next week. So stay tuned. And thanks for listening to the Take the North podcast presented by Odyssey. I've been Adam Staszynski. That's Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. We will talk to you next time.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.